chosen because that is what is freely available in the pew. However, if you'd like to follow along in a different version on your phone or in your tablet, that's fine. It will be easier to follow in the King James. The next easiest one would be New. Beyond that, you're really going to struggle for you to use in the Message. It's going to be, you're not going to be able to follow along very well at all. But one of the reasons that I want to do that this evening is because it's a little different of a presentation in general. You notice I'm on the floor. I'm not up there. I don't have that kind of presentation. I just want to talk. We're just going to have a conversation, if you will. I know it's a little one-sided. We can talk after if that's what we need to do. But I want to consider some things that I think sometimes we don't really consider all that deeply. Matthew 11 is where we're going to start, which is usually where we end. We usually end with the invitation that Jesus is giving here, but we're going to start with that invitation, and I have some questions that I would like for you to think about, not necessarily answer out loud, but to think about. Jesus says in Matthew 11 and verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Do you believe Jesus when he says that? Now let me ask it this way. Do you ever feel like you're not really getting that? Do you ever feel like the burdens are just really too much? And that you begin to question whether or not this is actually true? Now, we might intellectually know that it's true, but at the same time, we're feeling that burden. We're feeling the challenge. I'm going to pose to you a possibility that maybe you're not looking in the right place. And you might be looking at it saying, well, I read the Bible, I'm praying, Jesus is the one who said this, so I'm looking to him to be the ease of my burdens. But that's not the totality of it. And I think that often we're dealing with stuff. We just do, and we don't turn to the right place. Notice this passage. And this is what Jesus wants us to understand. And I believe that this is a part of the answer that Jesus was giving about coming to him when you're tired and when you're weary. This is part of that promise. In Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself and not in another, for every man shall bear his own burden." And we see the kind of the dichotomy here. He says, bear one another's burdens, and then he says, bear your own burden. You're responsible for yourself. There is truth in both of those statements. One, we do need to bear one another's burdens. That's going to be the message. But there also comes a time that you've got to say, I can't just let everybody else handle this for me. At some point, I've got to do something about it. Okay? So there is that aspect. I just want to put that out there in the beginning, but I want to also go back and talk about what does it mean to bear one another's burdens on the flip side? Not from you as a responsible person to bear the burden of someone else, but when you are the one that's facing the burden, when you are the one that's being challenged, and how we need to let our brethren help us in that time of need, when we are facing that burden so that we understand what Jesus meant. So let's talk about that first of all. And I'm asking this hypothetically. Raise your hand if you've never suffered a burden. There might be some little kids in here that might be able to, but they probably have a memory in their mind, at least, that it's some sort of a burden. We all have burdens. We are not fooling anyone to think that we never have burdens. It's silly to think that you would think of me that I've never suffered a burden. That's just silly, isn't it? So it begs the question, okay, in this context, he says in Galatians 6, you which are spiritual, restore such a one who's bearing the burden, right? Who's suffering from that, right? So who's the spiritual one? Well, the Bible wasn't written with chapters and verses. That came along later. So to understand you who are spiritual from chapter 6, verse 1, we might need to back up into chapter 5. And maybe that will help us to understand who the spiritual one is. So chapter 5 and verse 25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So what he's saying is, at that moment, the person who's spiritual is the one who at the moment is living the spiritual life. And so that's who he is calling on to restore the one who is at fault here. Okay, so he's not talking about somebody who's perfect. There's none of us who are perfect. If that were the case, this verse would be thrown out the window, right? There would be no one to restore such an one. Because there'd be no perfect one to be able to do that, save Jesus Christ. And that's just not the case, right? We know that this verse means something. So it doesn't mean someone who's walking in perfection. It's someone who's walking in the light. Someone who's progressing forward. Matter of fact, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. In this book, in this letter, John is dealing with people who are Gnostic. And basically the Gnostic idea is, it doesn't matter what I do in the flesh. I can sin in the flesh as long as my spirit is connected to God. And what he's saying is, that can't be. You can't serve the flesh and serve Christ at the same time. That's the difference in the spiritual and the flesh. Those who are walking in the light versus those who are walking in the darkness. And I'm just pointing, I'm not saying you guys are walking in darkness and they're walking in the light. I'm just showing that there's a difference in the two, that they're opposed to one another. Paul said that in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, right? Light does not have fellowship with darkness. They don't coexist. So that's what he is saying here. But I want you to notice the purpose that John is writing this is to say, look, you shouldn't sin, but you do. You do sin. And to say that you don't sin is to say that you don't need Jesus. Are we really saying that? Can we really, excuse me, can we really say that? That's the point. And so, here's some, Romans 3, verse 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? There's some of you I met for the first time yesterday. Some of you perhaps even tonight, I don't know. And I know you've sinned. I know it. I don't have to know you to know that. Newsflash, I've sinned. You have no doubt. And we walk around acting like we don't? Really? We're not fooling anyone. So to not lean on our brothers and sisters when we have a sin issue is silly. They're not going to judge you. Why would they? They've been there too. We've all been there. I cannot stand here and be able to judge you and be right about that, because I'm right there with you. We all need Jesus. And when we say we don't, is when we say we don't sin. And we can't get to that place. We've got to understand that we're all in that part of it together. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul is, in 2 Corinthians, is defending his apostleship. And from reading part of 2 Corinthians, he did not want to write some of the things he wrote because he didn't want it to be about him. But they made it about him, and so he has to defend himself so that he can get some things done. That's what 2 Corinthians is all about. So in chapter 12 and verse 10, Paul writes this about himself. He says, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. Was Paul dealing with stuff? Absolutely, he was dealing with stuff. He was suffering from all kinds of things, both external and internal. Things that the churches were doing were weighing on his mind, kept him up at night, wept about those things. He certainly cared about the church. But also the shipwrecks and the beatings and all the other stuff and trying to tell people the gospel, the people that ought to know that in Israel, and them going, yeah, we don't want that. You know that hurt. He's pouring his life into that, and they're, eh. He was dealing with stuff. Are you better than Paul? Do you really not deal with stuff? External and internal? Times that we wonder, you know, do I have this right? Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Or times that perhaps you've lost a job, or you got a pay cut, or you lost a family member, or a family member's sick. All those, we deal with stuff. That's life. We can't walk around and say, I never have to deal with stuff. And the point of that is to say, when you're dealing with something, know that everybody else has dealt with something too. There should be no judgment whatsoever in this room when you're dealing with something, because we've all dealt with something. Does that make sense? I hope that's coming across. We all have burdens. That's the point. And so when we all have burdens, we need to lean on one another to help each other out. In James chapter 5 and verse 16, it says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The very basic, fundamental message that we get from this passage alone is you're not alone. You need help. That is what the church is all about anyway. God didn't put us in the church in some sort of a vacuum. We didn't get saved and he sucked us up to heaven. That didn't happen because we have a purpose here. We have a twofold purpose. Number one, we need to save the lost. We need to be busy doing that. But number two, we need to keep the saved. And we do that with one another. We're not alone in this. This is going to sound very, very un-American. And I somewhat apologize for that, but not really. Independence is not a virtue. It's not. God created us for the purpose of relationship. First of all, relationship with him. Number two, it's not good that the man should be alone, right? So we're built with a relationship in mind. That's how we are created. The church was created for relationships. And so I've got to be able to open myself up to you to say, number one, yes, I've sinned. And maybe I'm sinning right now and I have something that I'm really struggling with that you can help me with. Or I'm struggling with something and I don't know that I can get through it alone, so I need you to help me through that. So I'm going to confess those things to you so that you can, at the very least, pray for me. Because maybe you're not dealing with that struggle right now. And maybe right now you're in a good place spiritually so that you can pray for me, because I am not alone in this, and you're not alone either. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14 says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. I want to focus on this idea of comfort the feeble-minded and support the weak. There are some times that we're feeble-minded from whatever's going on in life, and it's caused us that. I'm not saying that necessarily that we're, you know, feeble-minded in the sense that we've got just a cognitive problem, but that we're dealing with something internally. Or comfort the weak. This is a command that Paul is giving to the church in Thessalonica, right? You do this. But if I don't let you know when I need comforted, am I prohibiting you from this commandment? Absolutely. I'm keeping you from obeying God. Now, that's a really different way of looking at that, isn't it? For one, I know that you've been there, because we've all been there. And now, number two, I'm keeping you from doing what God has commanded you to do if I don't come to you with these things. And really, what's keeping me from coming to you in the first place is pride. Because I'm looking at that and I'm going, well, I don't want them to know I sin. I don't want them to know that I'm weak. I don't want them to know that right now I'm feeble-minded. I even had to give a disclaimer on that, right? Because I know how, that's how I think. I really don't want you thinking that I'm feeble-minded. Barry and Daryl might send me home if they think I'm feeble-minded right now, you know? But sometimes there's things that go on in my head that sometimes I need to share those things. That's the point. So that we are being able to fulfill this command. Also look at James 2 and verse 8. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. This is a royal law, meaning it's a kingly, majestic law, that we love one another. And we do well when we fulfill that majestic law. And how can you love me if you don't know how? If you don't know what I need? If you don't know how to support me? If you don't know how to comfort me? If I don't let you in on it, I'm keeping you from fulfilling that law. I want you to think about this for just a moment. When Jesus was going to the cross, he was carrying that very cross, right? And he got to a point where he couldn't. Now, he could have called legions of angels. He could have miraculously, he was God in the flesh, right? He could have done that. But what did he do? He solicited help. That's what he did. In his moment of weakness, he got help. Are we better than Jesus? That we can't ask for help? Let the church help you. Let the church fulfill the commandment, because we are in this together. And we're in this together for you, for me. That's what this is all about. So we can keep going. Sometimes my fire gets a little low and I need you to stoke the fire. Let's go, right? Let's go. Because we're in this together. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 26, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. When your body hurts, does not your body hurt? I mean, it affects your whole body. There are times that after my accident that I had, I was in a wheelchair for a long time. My legs hurt, so I was in a wheelchair. That made my arms hurt because they had to do the job that the legs were supposed to do. And it just hurt all the time. And sitting in that chair sometimes meant my back hurt, all kinds of things. And then when my back hurt, well, the rest of me hurt. I mean, it just, your back's one of those things, that, right? When it hurts, everything hurts. That's the way the body works. You know what my arm never did when my foot was hurting? See, I told you. I knew it. I knew you'd hurt. I'm not going to help you a bit. My hand did not think. Well, one thing, my hand doesn't think. But it did not think that way. That was foreign to my body. Wants to help the rest of my body. Any part of my body wants to help the rest of the body. That's why we double over when we get a stomach. Something in the stomach, we double over. Why? Because it affects the whole body. We're hurting here. We're trying to protect that. Right? That's why we throw up our hands when we're falling forward so we don't bust our face open. We're willing to suffer with our hands so that we don't hurt our face. The rest of the body, that's what we're here for. When one of you is suffering, we all suffer. Yes, it's true. When one member rejoices, we all rejoice. But when one member suffers, we all suffer. If we know you're suffering. But if you come in here and you act like everything's okay, somebody says, hey, how are you doing? I know it's customary to say good, to say fine, to say well. I know it's grammatically incorrect to say good. I still say it. That's our MO, right? That's just what we say. It's a response back. I'm good, how are you? Or I'm fine, how are you? If you're really hurting, hurt, let them know. They're not just asking as a pleasantry. Or I hope not, anyway. So we come in here and we act like everything's all fine, and maybe it's not. We need to share that with one another. Be judicious. I'm not saying just vomit all your problems in front of everybody. That's not the point, but you get what I'm saying. Acts 4 and verse 32, I want you to consider this. Acts 4 and verse 32 says, "And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that had that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common." These were people who had left their homeland. They had come from all kinds of nations to Jerusalem. They were not planning on staying there. It was one of the regular feasts that they would come and participate in at Pentecost. But something happened. And it was big. It was a big something. And Peter preached to them about Jesus. And they were not expecting that. They were not expecting to change their whole life. But what they did is they stayed right there in Jerusalem. Now, you can't stay in Jerusalem and take care of a house that's, you know, miles and miles, hundreds of miles away, especially in those days. You didn't have cars and things like that. So they sold it all, and they all put it all in one community pot with the church so that they made sure that whatever the church needed, they could take care of each other. I want you to think about this. What'd they leave behind? They burned the ships is what they did. All they had was each other. And we need to view the church. All we have is each other. And we need to burn the ships. And we need to have all things in common. I'm not saying financially we need to destroy everything. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that we need to recognize spiritually we're all in here with one another. And really, we're all we got. And when I consider that all I've got is right here, and I have some sort of mental problem, mental issue, some depression, some sadness, something, I'm not going to some worldly professional. I'm going to my brothers and sisters in the church, because that's who I have. That's what I got. And that's the best that this world has to offer. That when I have whatever kind of money problems, I'm not going to some financial advisor out there, but I'm talking to somebody in the church, somebody that can help me through that, that's been there and dealt with those types of things, that can offer spiritual advice on top of the money problems that I'm having. All that, you see how that works? That's the way we need to think about the world versus the church. The world does not have the answers. But we can't think that the church doesn't have the answers for me because they've never been there, because we have. We've all dealt with those types of things, and we are in this together. And Hebrews 3 and verse 13 says, "But exhort one another daily," every day, "while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." This relationship, this type of idea that we're all in together and we're all apart, it will not work if we do not build those relationships. And that's what he's saying here. We need to build those relationships, lest any of us are caught in that deceitfulness of sin that says, you know what, maybe I can dabble in this a little bit, and we get pulled away. If the only time you saw somebody from the church, if the only time you ever saw them was when they had something to correct you about, you wouldn't see them, would you? You wouldn't want to see them. But if you know that they come to see you in the good and the bad, that they rejoice in the good and they weep with you when it's time to weep, that is what is going to make it work when we are building these types of relationships. Send a daily text randomly to somebody in the church. Give somebody a phone call. It's easy today to do this kind of thing that he's called us to do. Have people in your home. Meet them in a restaurant, whatever. Have coffee together. If you don't like coffee, have tea. If you don't like tea, have water. It doesn't really, the thing doesn't matter. It's the relationship and the building those relationships so that when there's really a struggle, you know who's got your back. We need to be building those relationships. We need each other. There's going to be times that I need you, and there's going to be times that you need me. And we need to build our relationships that we can truly depend on one another. What burden are you carrying today? What's going on? Really think about it. What's going on with you today? How can we take that to Jesus for you and be an answer to that invitation? Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How can we help you with that? If we can, please let us know by coming forward and sitting on the front while we stand and while we sing.